When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And that's where my anger made me think, well, do you know what? If nobody's going to help me, I'm going to join whatever charities I can do to try and make a difference and stop being angry and sitting in my house thinking, well, I wasn't in a house. I think I was on a bench at that point. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, I'm going to use my anger and see if I can help other people. So yeah, you can use it in a good way.
Welcome to Women Are Mad, where we invite women to bring their anger into everyday conversation. We're all feeling it. Let's get together to work out what to do with it. I'm Salima Saxton. I'm an actress and writer.
I'm Jennifer Cox, and I'm a psychotherapist. We noticed that anger is the one emotion that women aren't allowed to openly express. Meanwhile, everything around us is making us absolutely furious.
By talking about women's anger freely, we hope will inspire you to do the same.
Salima, what's made you angry this week?
Well, funny you should ask. My dealings with local politics.
Oh,
just look, my short version of this is that I think sometimes people like things not to be resolved, and people find it easier just to keep the conversation going about nitpicky little things in their lives.
Oh,
I can't go into further detail, but that's been the very annoying thing about my last few days. I think sometimes people like minor conflicts in their lives and minor kind of bubblings so that they can have coffee and moan and groan and feel things. And there's a kind of cause rather than looking at the bigger issues in their life is my takeaway from this week.
That I wish I wish that I could just have coffee and moan. I wouldn't stop. If someone gave me a cup of coffee and switched on the moan button, you wouldn't get me to shut up.
Yeah, but you actually want to talk about the stuff that is really instrumental to your big life plans. So look, feel free to moan away with me at any point for that, because I would give you as much space as you needed, as you do for me all the time. But I think it's when people are using little things, things that need to change locally, as a way of not looking at their big stuff.
Oh, okay. Because I feel like, yeah, it sort of is the opposite for me at the moment. I feel like I'm sitting so much in the topic of women's anger and the details behind it, and I suppose wedging myself deep into the darkest research.
Yeah.
And it's really getting to me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It's really tough.
I do wonder, with you and your work and being a therapist, writing your book, being somebody that we all go to ask specifics about all of this, it's a lot to hold, isn't it?
I guess it is.
Because I just crack jokes or kind of, I don't know, ask Jen.
That's, and thank God you do. But you're my way through it. Like, it is only by laughing that I think I actually don't tumble off into somewhere very unpleasant.
A quagmire.
The quagmire.
Can you tell me who our guest is this week?
Yes, I can. Our guest today is an icon. She's a former model and current television personality, but she's also been open about her experiences of homelessness and mental ill health. Please welcome the incredible Gail Porter.
Yeah. Oh, no, you mustn't shake your head when we're saying that. I love that you were like,
I'm just a person that's been around for a long time.
This is so typically woman.
Yeah, we're not taking that, Gail, sorry.
No minimising.
We refuse all of that, sorry.
I work as hard as I can do to try and make a difference, but I don't know.
Well, you do. You do. Gail, I'm going to start with our very first question, which is what we always ask people. And we always ask Gail Porter. Well, not always ask Gail Porter. We always ask
Gail Porter. That must be really confusing for everyone else.
Oh, Brian, Gail Porter, what do you...
Exactly. Okay, this week, Gail Porter, what makes you angry?
What makes me angry?
Yeah.
People being disrespectful and people not showing kindness. So because I live in London, I'm from Scotland. So if you see somebody with a big suitcase at the tube, then you say, may I help you down the stairs? And then you see all these other people just walking past. Or if you see somebody with a shopping trolley that's struggling getting up the stairs, you just say, may I help? It's really, so that makes me angry, but it's not angry, angry, but I just want to sometimes say to them all, it takes you 2 seconds, or take a minute out of your time to walk up the and ask them, have you had a good day? Are you okay? Is everything all right?
So and do you think you've always been like that, Gail, or has that changed as you've got older? Were you this person in your 20s too?
Yeah, always, I think. Well, I hope to think so. You'll be getting phone calls going, no. You walked past me and I was thinking, since you didn't carry my bag. So
I pushed my suitcase down the stairs that time.
I'm sorry. I try to think that I am that person all the time, but there are times that sometimes I think, oh my gosh, if I don't get on that train in 1 minute to Edinburgh, it's going to cost me a huge amount to change into another train. And I'm looking at other people going, that lady or that man is struggling with that bag. And they just look at me as if to go... bothered, and I was like, well, I am, just go. But yeah,
you sound like you're someone who's very community minded, like that we're all part of something bigger.
Oh yeah, so if I go to the supermarket, which I did today, I always book 2 hours out. It's just around the corner, but I know that people no, but everyone will chat, everyone will stop and say something, and I'm more than happy to listen. I can't help everyone, but if someone says, oh, I haven't seen you for ages, how are you? And you think, do you know what? I've just given myself an extra hour, so I've got that time to go, I'm okay, how are you doing? Are you all right? Is everything okay? So yeah, supermarkets take a long time.
Oh, wow.
So on a very practical level, that's the kind of thing that makes you angry in daily Gail life. But like macro level anger, the big leagues, are there any causes that are dear to your heart that which can fill you with fury? Or maybe it's not even fury these days. We've had people say it's no longer fury, it's other emotions.
Well, I work a lot with homeless charities, and I know it's changing, hopefully, for the better. But sometimes you just feel like, you know, anything to do with politics. I don't even want to get into this.
Where to begin?
Exactly. There's nowhere to begin. And they're always going, yeah, we're going to have a look into this, or we're going to have a look into that. And I was like, seriously? Seriously, are you really? I did a talk about mental health at the Houses of Parliament not that long ago, and only one MP turned up. Everybody else was from different charities. Yeah. And I was thinking, no, it's great, because there's lots of people to talk to each other, but one MP. And you're thinking... And it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, so they couldn't have been in the bar, or they could have been, I don't know. But
Could have been.
Turn up, but they were going, you know, we gave you that space to talk. And I was like, well, I'm just talking to everybody that's
that like, already knows.
We all know each other. We need you to listen. Yeah, we will listen, and we're going to bring it up.
Right. I still find it extraordinary how certain aspects of like being well and mental health, for example, are still not everybody is able to sit and hold that conversation, are they? Even people in positions of power, aren't they not necessarily very comfortable with it?
No.
All that's gone on in your life, do you still come across that where people aren't comfortable or kind of navigating around it?
I'm very lucky because I can talk about it to my friends, and I use social media for a good thing. I know social media can be extremely dark, but do you know what? I always say to everyone, block. Anyone says anything mean, block. It's easy. Yeah. These are people you know. But if you can talk to somebody that maybe is going through the same thing as you, and you can have a very positive conversation, then yeah, use it to your advantage. But unfortunately, there's quite a lot of meanie pants out there, as I
said. Are there a lot of meanie pants? Because I was going to ask you this. What I mean, how does it impact you when you get a meanie?
Now compared to how it might have done in the 90s or the noughties, like, has that changed? Yeah, of
course. Thank goodness for that. So,
yeah, of course. Yeah,
true.
Yeah, God, yeah. You, I mean, if you just think what you were doing in the 90s, if you'd had social media, God.
Well, luckily, I can't remember the 90s, so it's...
okay, good.
It's all good. But I'm just thinking, oh, my God. And it's, do you know, things like going to a gig. I was like, put your phones down and enjoy the moment. But no, I don't really get mean comments. I think I've sort of made myself clear going, don't even bother, because if I see anything even slightly mean, I just block. And it's done. I don't even need to read to the end of it, apart from one that made me laugh out loud. Like, just like, yeah. He said, yeah, Gail, you're bald. I bet you've not got any public hair.
Oh, God. Like,
public hair.
Oh, I was like, hey, it's pubic. And no, I don't. And you're blocked.
No, I don't.
And it is quite funny. But thanks for that. But.
How were the responses to your amazing Edinburgh show, which I see that you're going on tour with in the next few weeks, right?
Yeah, I am. Well, Edinburgh was amazing because it's my hometown.
I know.
And I talk about lots of stuff that are, I tell stories. I don't get up there and do, it's like telling people about school days and this and people, things that people can relate to. And even, you know, mental health, I bring up that and people relate to it. And there was one lady, bless her, because I usually go, hands up, who's been sectioned? And usually no one. And then this one woman went, yeah, me. And I was like, oh, there you go. So have I been? And she went 7 times. I was like, wow, okay.
Wow.
but it was great fun. I mean, I was pretty unwell most days just because I was nervous.
Oh. What do you mean unwell, girl? Like
just nerves, tummy nerves.
Oh.
But everyone said that Duz shows up in Edinburgh. And I said, oh, gosh, I have to go to Boots. And they went, are you back for Buscopan? And I was like, yeah, for cramps. So I was like, wow, I'm so cool. But but no, it was amazing and it was terrifying and it was something out of my
comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when I spoke to other comedians, they said, or performers or anyone, they said, you know what, if you feel sick or you're nervous, that then you're obviously really into what you're doing. And
yes, you're invested.
Oh, this is a great way of looking at it, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, that you care, that you care. Mm. So why did you even do it? How did it come about?
I don't know. No.
Come on.
Yeah, so I did, well, obviously from Edinburgh. And then last year, I went on to John Bishop and Tony Pitts had, it was called Three Little Words. Yeah. And it was a sort of live podcast that they did. And I went on there. And I do like talking. And I was on there for ages and we were all laughing and crying and laughing and crying. And then I don't know which one said, but they said, you should do this next year. And I was like, that's a great idea. And then
And then you did.
And you did. That's incredible.
Then I
signed
up and I thought, this is a terrible idea. This is awful. But yeah, I did it.
But also, Gail, if you just think where you've been in your life, like we've all grown, I think we're all a similar age, the three of us. We've grown up with you, okay? And to see
you're young, so you're definitely not my age.
It's very dim lighting in here. To see how graciously you have navigated all that has gone on and spoken about it so in such with such clarity and with such rawness and without, you know, well, with fearlessness, actually, is to be really, really applauded. Is there a moment in all of this where you've been angry with somebody in particular or something through all the ups and downs of where you've been the last 15, 20 years in particular?
Well, I mean, my phone was hacked for years by, you know, well, everyone knows.
Yeah.
Publications. And so that made me angry because I didn't know about phone hacking. So I'm angry at myself because I was thinking, it must be one of my friends.
How did you find out, Gail? Like, how did you even know? But no.
Well, I didn't find out for a few years. And then I got a phone call from a friend of mine that was working in law. And she said, we'd like you to come into our office. And I was like, oh, wow. She went, no, but, you know, we need to tell you something. And of course, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, is it? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, got in there and then there was just files and files and files and files lined up on this table. And they went, like, sit down. These are all your conversations from the past few years, like when my mum was dying of cancer. Because they turned up, the press were outside the the place that my mum, the hospital that my mum was in, when I got sectioned, they were outside there. And I'm just thinking, so I'm angry with myself because I was thinking, it can't be one of my friends. None of my friends who's done that. So I'm angry for even thinking that. And then when I found out what happened, oh my gosh, I was so unwell. And I thought, how is this even a thing?
So was there a point at which you were able to convert that anger that fell back into yourself and onto yourself out there at the target, at the people that had done it? Did you ever manage that?
No, I just kept my mouth shut because by this point I didn't want to speak to anyone and I didn't want to speak to my friends. I didn't want to do anything. I'd go for a run, but I'd know that someone would be watching. And I'm thinking,
Gail.
Nobody cares what I'm doing. But there was always somebody there, somebody doing something. So I just sort of retreated into my home and just thought, who do you trust and who do you not trust?
Who do you trust? I mean, this would make anybody paranoid.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not be paranoid? And over what period of time was this?
You can't not be paranoid. I'm still paranoid.
Do you think you are from that?
Yeah, even if someone's like standing outside my house, I was thinking, oh gosh, I don't know. Because I mean, people were going through my bins. People were, you know, I'd get up in the morning and my bins were all empty, just my bins, but not the neighbor's bins. And you're thinking, ew. So now I've got a cat. I just put loads of cat litter shit in there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Mom, guys or girls or whoever's going through it. There's lots of poop there. There's a lot of poop.
Did that directly impact your mental health? Was that a stupid question?
I've suffered mental health problems since I was younger and it's got nothing to do with TV. It's got nothing to do with media. It was just my little head. That knocked me for six. And it's still like the fact that, you know, how many years ago, and I'm going to be 53 and I'm still nervous if someone's outside the house or I'm still nervous if someone's got a camera. And I'm not bothered about them taking a picture. I'm bothered about, is it someone, how do they know where I am?
It's that kind of wider question.
Lots of things that are happening in the media, which obviously I'm not going to go into, but, you know, certain TV presenters are getting people that are not being very nice to them. And I had a stalker that used to be outside my house and eventually had to get the police because I thought, well, maybe he's okay. When he applied for a marriage license, I thought, yeah, no, he's not that well. You just have to, I don't know, I feel like I'm always very aware, apart from if I go out at to a gay club in Soho on a Friday, then I don't care because everyone's lovely.
But it feels so sad, especially because you're somebody that is so warm and sociable, that would be exploited and sort of infringed upon. You know, somebody like you who isn't a kind of sort of jealously guarding yourself away, like you're trying to share yourself and to have it met with in this really cruel, really cold way.
I think this is the case, isn't it, of so many women in the public eye of our kind of generation, you know.
Yeah, it feels very unsafe.
It's very odd. And then you start to get angry with yourself again because you think, oh my gosh, that person across the road is probably waiting for something. But I'm thinking, are you watching something? Or, oh, I don't know what's happening. Anger mixed with fear and also just confusion, because you just think, why would you do that to other people? Why would anyone do that to someone? Why would you follow someone? Why would you go through people's mail? Why would you do this? Why would you I don't know. And then you feel for other people, thinking, well, I'm not scared of, you know, I've got 2 second dan black belts, I'll be all right. But it's just the whole thinking, and then it makes you paranoid, like you said before.
Has it affected friendships and close relationships?
I've got good friends that I've had for a long time, since primary school and stuff. So, you know, they're all here and they've always had my back. But I'm the sort of person, you know, when I go to the supermarket for 2 hours, like I told you, I will give someone my number. If I go to Soho, I'll give someone my number. So I'm my own worst enemy, but also 90% of people that I give my number to are absolutely joyous and wonderful. And we can share stories and we can have a laugh and go for coffee or something. But then But yeah, I think it's easier now just to, as I said, block, or if someone has been a bit weird. And also I lose my phone about once every 6 months. So
it's a good reset.
Yeah. So my friends always go, she's like, my friend Charlie phoned me the other day. She's like, I've got you under Gale 10.
And oh my God, that's impressive.
That's only been in 10 months. And I was like, yeah.
That's impressive.
Like, yeah. And I was like, I don't know. No idea. But you know. It's always insured. And then I think, oh, I'll just change my number. And so no one knows where I am.
Do you know, though, I really think, like, I think it's great to be open, because that's how you meet people, meet the most amazing people and have the most wonderful conversations. But I'm also a big believer these days. And if someone shows you who they are, then believe it. Like, I used to kind of go back and go back and go back. Whereas now if someone shows me truly what they are and I don't really resonate with it or like it, I exit. And that's different for me as I've got older. I used to be like, oh, that didn't, I misunderstood. I've got a bit better.
So you kind of thought you must have got it wrong
I'm a bit better with like boundaries and things now. I don't, Gayla, how are you with boundaries?
I'm terrible. None. as I say, the only boundaries I've got is if people are outside the house and I don't know them, and then I get a bit,
which is fair enough.
But maybe also the kind of losing your phone is an unconscious way of enforcing a boundary. You know,
you know what? I think I'll take that.
Yes,
have that one, because it's almost like the good ones stick then, but you lose all of the dead weight.
And also, how sweet. People really want to find you, they'll find you.
They'll find you. Yeah, in a healthy way.
Yeah, not in a serial killer way.
Yes, no, exactly.
Yeah.
Gail,
it does sound like you blame yourself a lot. You know, oh, I'm terrible for this and I'm too open. And like, these feel like they're positives that become negatives. And makes me feel quite angry listening, because the world's done that. You should have been able to be out there and open and yourself. That got distorted and sort of manipulated.
Yeah, a little bit. And I do get angry with myself because I'm very patient with people. Mm-hmm. And so there was a group of lads, and they were standing outside of the tube station that I was coming out of. And because they were all, you know, young lads all together, balaclavas, whatever. And one of them went, oh my God, is that a woman or a man? Look, she's got no hair. And I went back. I just went, do you know what? Fuck off. Can I say fuck off? I've just said it.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, do you know what? Fuck off. I will talk to you now. They're all like this. I'm 5'1". I was going, and another thing, right? And I was like, don't do that. If someone did that to your mother, if your mother was going through cancer or chemotherapy or da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da, and I've got 2 seconds on black belt, so don't ever, ever fuck with me again, okay? And then I went, I'm so sorry. And then I walked away and I was going, they're going to like hit me or something. And they didn't. And now every time I see them, they're like, all right.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Because I keep it all in, and I get home and I'll cry if someone, not many people will make fun of the way that I look, but when they do, and if I'm not in a great mood, it really hurts.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about how I look, maybe just keep it to yourself. Don't say it out loud. Just let me have the freedom to walk down the street without saying, oh, bald woman. Yeah. And then I get other messages saying, well, you could wear a wig. And I said, yeah, but it's, you know, I've got one, but if it's uncomfortable, and also I'm a woman of a certain age, I'm quite hot.
Right.
I've got 18 years, none of this.
But also, Gail, isn't it interesting that people feel that, you know, like, you know, they want to advise you?
Right,
you
like
know?
It's their business.
I mean, like, if I shaved my head tomorrow and people said to me, oh, you know, you could grow your hair, or, you know, wear contact lenses, or you could wear, I mean, it's interesting that people feel the need to say, have you ever heard of a wig? Like, you
not many people do it, but some people, you could wear a wig, you know. And I was like, yeah, I have got one, but I will wear it when but why am I wearing it? Do you care? I don't even know you.
It feels like, I know this, it feels like a real infringement in
that word.
Isn't it?
It's like infringe.
Oh, yeah, nice. Very good.
There you go. Air-based pun. But it's, it feels, because it's like an attack. It's like they've kind of come and pushed you with a word. And why is it any of their business? Why would they get to do that? Like,
but do you think women, is this a bit about how we're all meant to look as women? So if you're not necessarily obeying the rule with your hair, so people get a bit kind of, do you know what I mean?
Also, you know, back in the 90s, I did the whole magazine stuff and everything. But, you know, I was in my 20s and I was just having a lot of fun. Yeah. And so now I feel like, you know what? Yeah, I did stuff that probably people thought, oh, why did you do that? And I was like, because I was in my 20s. And I don't know, I wore a bikini or sometimes didn't.
But also,
the Houses of Parliament, the Houses of Parliament, none of us will ever forget that amazing thing.
Yeah, but this is when I started realizing that this is not great, because they took the picture, they weren't going to use the picture, or they were going to put it in the magazine. And then I got a phone call in the morning. No, I watched the BBC News and they projected it without my knowledge. And they didn't pay me or anything like that.
What?
So I saw it on the news the same as everybody else did.
They didn't pay you.
Also, you had no idea that that image, that you know, very like, you know, very.
Well, it's fine now. You know, when you get to 53, you went, well, you know, even though it's very airbrushed, well, my arse was on a massive building. But at the time, when they didn't tell you, and I'm getting the phone call from my mum going, what have you done now? And I was like, I don't know. What's happening? She went, put the news on.
Oh, your mum.
Oh, Gail.
No, yes, mum. My dad never talked about it. Never. Just ignored the whole fact.
Did he not?
And then my grandpa, Horatio Walter Stanley Twiddy, that's his name, real name. He could have just invented the world. But then he phoned me up and he said, hey, Gail, I just saw that your arse is on the Houses of And I was like, oh,
your
God.
Grandpa.
And I was like, I'm so sorry, Grandpa. And he's like, no, it's great. I just went out and bought five copies. So there's one for me, one for Uncle. And I was like, don't, stop talking.
enough.
He's like, I saw you since you were born, so it's not a problem. And I was like, so, okay, Grandpa's attitude was great. Mum was freaking out. Dad refused to talk about it. Then the press were all over it saying that I was involved. I knew what was happening. I had no idea. And then I never heard from FHM again. They just did one, and apparently it was the biggest selling FHM they'd ever had because of the
course it was. Of course.
Nothing. Not a word.
Oh, and that was my God.
I didn't even get a copy of it, so yeah.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
I don't want a magazine in my own house going, everybody, look at my bum. No. But yeah, it was a very weird time. But it was the 90s, and we were all kind of doing weird things. You know, we weren't seriously thinking about, you know, impact of what we were doing. It was kind of like, go with the flow, have a laugh. And then it's not until you get older you think, wow, I wish I'd thought that through. But
also, but listen, I just feel like all of us as women, like young women around about then, I just accepted a lot of lad-isms, first of all. I accepted that as part of kind of like, you know, jokes, whereas now I wouldn't stand for that with my own teenage daughter. And a lot of the language that we were all party to, and you in particular, girl, because you were so much in the public eye then, I now look back on it and think, my God, it's extraordinary how far, thank God we've come so far from then.
Yeah.
But I guess you have to go through those times to evolve and get better, I guess.
Yeah. Have we though? I don't know that we have.
Not really. But things like me looking after my daughter. So one of her friends, because when she went to uni, her friends' mums were all going, you know, don't do this, don't take drinks from strangers. And I was like, honey, it's an elbow straight to the back of the neck, right? Like that. And then you do, and she was like, And I was like, yeah, that kind of stuff. But don't like make it really bad, but you can just knock them out for a bit. And she's like, oh my God, that's so Scottish, but I love it.
Did she ever use it?
No.
But she could, That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, having issue in sleeve.
But no, nothing has really changed. I mean, oh my gosh, no. You kind of hope it does little bits and pieces, but it seems to take forever.
And by then, something else has come in.
Also, don't you think with our own daughters? I've got a daughter as well, and
yeah, she's a teenager. How old?
Yes, and my eldest is nearly 14, and I just think she won't take anything that I would have taken at that point already. So her acceptance of certain behaviours is like zero.
Right.
So I think that shifted. I mean, you must see that with Honey. I bet she's probably more able to like hold a line, no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, apparently I know nothing and she knows everything. So,
brilliant. Yeah, they're good at that, aren't they?
Yeah, very good. So,
Gail, can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
When has anger driven you to do something incredible?
Does anger make you... I don't know. I do a lot of charity work and that's a lot of it is down to anger.
Well, we see anger as a real fuel for good, ultimately.
Yeah. And it's when it comes to things like homelessness, which should not be happening, or it comes down to mental health and people should not, you know, when I had a breakdown and I went to the doctors and I was literally on my knees and I was so angry. And I was like, I just need to see someone today, tomorrow, someone, please help me. Oh, you're on a waiting list for however many weeks. And then, and that's when my anger made me think, well, do you know what? If nobody's going to help me, I'm going to join whatever charities I can do to try and make a difference and stop being angry and sitting in my house thinking, well, I wasn't in a house. I think I was on a bench at that point. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, I'm going to use my anger and see if I can help other people. So, yeah, you can use it in a good way.
When you find yourself like called to action like that, do you think it sort of helps you process your feeling?
Well, it kind of does. But when you're at that sort of despair that I was at the time, you do get angry. And then there was part of my brain that thinking there's no point in carrying on. There's no point in this. No one cares. But obviously, I've got my daughter and I thought, right, you know, let's use this anger, be positive and try not to focus on myself and try and focus on understanding that there are other people around going through the same thing. So we can, instead of being angry, we could be a little bit angry in our tummies. Don't make it go to your heart too much. And then use the anger in your tummy to do a wee tiny fire that goes up to your heart and then your heart goes on fire. And then you go, we can try and make a change.
I love that. Do you know what? That's beautiful. A really beautiful way to put it, actually. I'm going to use that with my kids, actually. That's really, so because also it just, because we can all feel these really uncomfortable things, right? It just then depends what you use and how you use it for fuel, or whether you just let it eat you up entirely.
It makes you more and more unwell if you sit and think, you know, the world's against me, everything's against me,
yeah.
Angry. No. It's just, you know, we're only here once and we're going to be all right. We're going to be fine. We're going to use that little bit of fuel, but turn it into a good fuel, not a bad fuel.
Yeah, Gail, before you go, we always invite everyone into this virtual rage room of ours. And we kind of ask you what you'd like to kind of swing your baseball bat at. Jen, do you want to go first? The quick fire.
I'd love to. Okay. Yeah. Gail, current news item making you seethe?
Too many.
There's too many. And also, I'm not really up for a baseball bat. Can I just use a potato gun?
Oh, what's that?
A potato gun. So it's like a gun. And you just like get a potato and then you like suck up a bit of the potato. And then, so you're not really hurting anyone. And then they smell a bit of potato. I've got one in the house.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
use whatever you want.
Whatever you, if you're comfortable with a potato gun, which I'm going to order for my son, I think, as soon as I can.
Great fun. They're really good fun. But also, I think when it comes to news, what makes me angry is the way that sort of, I hate, I don't want to see certain programs, so I don't want to upset people. But sometimes when it's sort of a little bit frivolous, and so they'll do something extremely serious, and then they'll go, oh, here's something. And just, you know what, either have, no, it's when it's on the TV and then they'll come up and go, oh, what's coming up on the thing today? And then they'll go, oh, your hair looks nice. And they go, oh, you look lovely. Oh, how's yours? I don't care.
Yeah, I think I know which program you might be talking about.
You know what I mean? I just want to just tell me the news. And if you want to give me a wee happy spot, half an hour in,
yeah,
no problem whatsoever. I don't care about your hair.
Okay, listen, number two, aspect of modern life that makes you fume.
Cars, just there, because we don't all need cars. Mm. And especially when you're in London, you can get the tube. You can be a bit more aware of your surroundings and aware of the climate. And I'm not going to like preach about it, but do you really need a car to drop your child to the school? That's, I can see it from here.
Right.
Why do you have a 4x4? So, yeah. Do you know what? If you need a car, use a car, 100%. Get yourself a car, get an electric car. But why are you people buying these massive, big 4x4s to roam around London?
Yeah. And especially like roam around a few tiny streets of London.
Exactly. Because I can watch like the lady down the road gets in the 4x4 and then she's back in about 20 minutes.
it's ego and performance, isn't it?
That's it. That makes me a little bit grumpy and also just rude. Rude.
Okay, so this might segue into the next one. Behaviour of others, which gets on your wick.
If you are walking up the street and you see someone walking down and you think, I'm going to wait for them to come past the tree because we can't all fit on, and then they'll walk past the tree and then they don't say thank you.
Oh yeah. I'm so with you on that.
It is so
rude. And also, I'm the old lady who now kind of mutters, thank you. Or kind of like, I
do a really cheery, thank you.
Oh yeah, I'm so with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so British, Jen, and not English. And all.
I know. So fake.
Thank you.
And you just think, do you know what? I've moved out the way and I just like politeness. I like politeness.
I'm with you.
I get very angered if people don't say thank you or please or just basic niceness. Mm-hmm. It's not going to take anyone a long time and it's not going to affect anything in your life for the rest of the day, but it might make me a happier person, or I will say thank you to you, even if I'm going, thank you! But,
Gail, you've been extraordinary. And we stand by what you were shaking your head at the very beginning. You are an icon. Take it whether you like it or not. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what's this conversation brought up for us? So I thought what was really inspiring and really moving, actually, was how she talked about the use of anger as a driving fuel, but also how in her body she really felt it to be located. So when it's creeping up unprocessed into her sort of heart area, that feels unhealthy. But if in the gut and she can use it in this much more active way, so she's on top of it, she can really make use of it and actually do some processing of those very, very uncomfortable feelings. And see how it's possible to do so much good as a result, and how that must feel somehow quite reparative.
Yes. Oh God, you've just put it in your brilliant psychotherapist language, because I was going to say how amazing that someone who's gone through so many things has managed to make so much good out of it. But in your terms of using it to process feelings as well, I think it's a really interesting thing to acknowledge.
It feels like then everybody gets helped, you know?
Yes.
Yourself, but also others. Like, it's a really generous way of giving yourself what you need.
Yeah,
So I think that was what was so striking about her, actually, her just immense capacity for giving and generosity and love. Thank you for listening and sharing in our anger. Tune in next time.
And remember, you're not mad to feel mad.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.